Hello, everyone, and welcome to Between the Sessions, coming to you from the beautiful Palm Beaches, Florida. Between the Sessions is a podcast for meetings industry professionals presented by the Palm Beaches, and I'm your host, Suzanne Boyd.
I'm your co-host, Jamie Hart. Our mission is to inspire those in the business events industry with new and innovative ideas and discuss important developments impacting the industry in the U.S. and globally.
And today, we are very excited to introduce not one, but two guests. We have Tasha Williams, who's a mompreneur and the founder of The Pink Retreat, which is a girls' getaway sponsored by the Palm Beaches. We also have Claire Lester, a design studio strategist with Meritz. So Tasha, why don't we start with you? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what inspired you to create The Pink Retreat?
Hi, ladies. I'm so excited to be here. I was inspired because I've been a longtime Lilly Pulitzer fan and was very active on the Facebook, what we call the Facebook boards, where we buy, sell, and trade clothing. And I thought that it would be really amazing because you tend to develop relationships with all of the women that you either buy from, sell from, or trade from. You celebrate each other's marriages, births, passings, etc. And I thought it would be an amazing opportunity if we got all of us offline and in person for an opportunity for us to get together.
And how did you get interested in Lilly Pulitzer? Was that something since you were a child or?
I've always loved Lilly. I am an art therapist by trade, so color is my thing. I've always been drawn to just the bright, sunshiny disposition of the clothing. And yeah, I wasn't able to always afford it. So, which is actually how I ended up on the Lilly Facebook boards, because buying, selling, and trading was a more economical way for me to do it.
Yeah. And Claire, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role with Meritz and how you got involved with Tasha and the Pink Retreat.
Yeah. So I am a 20-year event professional. And like most of us, I've kind of done it all through the ranks. And I've actually been with Meritz 13 years. And my current position, as you mentioned, is a design studio strategist. And really what we're focused on are working with kind of interesting partners that are really aligned to purpose and passion driven work in the event and experience space. So we started working with Visit Palm Beaches through kind of a long-term strategy agreement. And we wanted to do something that was interesting from a design standpoint together. And one of kind of the key initiatives that Palm Beach told us was that they really wanted to help build an event that was synonymous with their brand. And so they knew immediately that it was the Pink Retreat. And so luckily enough, they brought me in to help kind of start that partnership and help Tasha kind of lay a vision for what the future looks like.
So Tasha, how did that change the process of planning that event?
Oh, it completely changed the way that I see the event, the way that I approach the event, how I'm actually looking at attendees from different eyes than I traditionally do. Because usually when I first started planning the Pink Retreat, I planned it from a position of what would I like to attend. Now I'm starting to focus more on what would I like for my ladies to enjoy.
Yeah. And Claire, when you're talking about planning events that have purpose and passion behind them, what's your go-to to start talking about a strategy for those types of events?
You know, I think it's really to understand the values that are guiding the event. And I think the strongest events really have this connection of kind of purpose, you know, passion and place, right? They make sense where they're at. They know what they stand for, and they know what they kind of want to give back to the world.
And what were the process that you went through in building the schedule of activities that would motivate attendance and engagement, Tasha?
Honestly, I don't know if there was a particular process as much as I took a lot of my core events that I had done in the past and built around those and added a bunch of new activities, if you will, to make it a more full experience.
Yeah, I might be able to jump in here and add some context, which is, you know, as part of kind of how we tackled this first step is we brought everyone together including the Palm Beaches, Tasha. You know, Tasha has this core group of people that were there from the beginning that she calls her OGs, to really sit together in a two-day strategy session where we guided the groups through different activities to help really get at the goals and objectives and that they want to see moving forward short term within the year and longer term. And so as part of that process, we really talked about different Lily and event personas. And the group took those personas and then fleshed out different ideas of the types of activities that they would really love to see, or that would really kind of fill their cup, which was Tasha's organizing principle this year.
Yeah. And let's walk through a little bit more in detail maybe about some of those decisions and, you know, specific to the Pink Retreat, but also for events in general, when you're designing an event, things like destination, the theme, the schedule, all of that really can affect the overall experience. Can you talk a little bit more about how we can dig into some of those decisions to really get to a place where you're fulfilling your purpose and reaching people where they want to be?
Yeah. So, you know, I think there are three really questions to ask yourself. And we use a tool called the strategic framework, which is something that we built, but really the components you can do without the framework. And the first one is, what are the actual business objectives of this event? What is the business? What am I looking to achieve? And, you know, one of them, you know, most people don't start events as hobbies. They start them as businesses, right? So what are our revenue objectives? What does a successful event look like for us as a business at the end of the day, right? That is an important component. The next component is, what are the impressions that we want our audience to walk away with? You know, at Meritz, we really believe in a guest mentality. So you hear us use the term guest over an attendee all the time. And so really thinking about, we always say, if you were a fly on the wall at the airport and a guest had just attended your event and they were talking to someone who hadn't been there, what is the one thing that you would want to hear them say? So then what we do is we take that objective, we take that guest impression, and we think about, what are the core values that connect those two things? And usually what comes away with is 4 or 5 really distinct, important values, such as growth, such as, you know, nourishment, I think was one of ours. It can be, you know, recognition is a big thing that's coming up right now in corporations, the idea of they want to recognize great work and have guests walk away saying, gosh, I feel really valued and important. And really the idea is using those values to help guide all the decisions you make in event. So every time you have a meeting, like what we do is we have our intro slide for every meeting has those values on it. It keeps us, you know, aligned to where we want to be and what we want to do.
Yeah. And Tasha, I'll kind of ask you the same question, I think, because the Pink Retreat 2023 was not your first Pink Retreat. So when you started planning, you were kind of took this on as a hobby, as a passion project. So where did you start with that? And maybe we can also touch on how that evolved this year when working with Claire and the Meritz team.
Well, and it's so funny you say that, because I was actually going to mention that when I started the Pink Retreat, the idea came about in 2017. Had the very first Pink Retreat in 2018, and it was a hobby. I was a stay-at-home mom at the time, and I was looking for something fun for myself to do. And as more and more women, and as the years grew and the event started to grow, it became a business. Like, I had no intention of it actually ever becoming a business. I kind of fell into it, which is the blessing of it all. So working with Claire, it helped me to switch my thinking, because I was going along as, okay, this is a hobby. Now I had to switch my thinking to say, this is now a business. You have to look at this as a business now. So a lot of things that I hadn't thought about, Claire helped me to reframe to be able to move in a different direction.
Can you give us, Tasha, any specific things that changed when that change of thinking happened? Like, what were some things that changed with the event because of that?
Making sure that I think Claire had mentioned that we had different personas, really thinking of how to make sure that everybody has a good time instead of just a couple of people having a good time. which really helped me to, I mean, I had to widen my perspective of, oh yeah, I forgot about, well, what about her? And oh yeah, and what about her? And making sure that it was a whole experience for everybody instead of, well, a few people got to really have a good time, but what about everybody else?
Right. And how did thinking about it like that, the different personas of your guests, change how you were able to interact or how you did interact with supplier partners or vendors, your hotel partners, the DMO, kind of that full scale look at all of those partners?
I think that I started to really welcome a lot more people and vendors that I might not have necessarily entertained in the past.
I love
if that,
that
makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And Claire, what do you see that as well with other events as people start kind of really designing events with personas in mind, that it changes how they're working yeah. with their supplier partners?
I do. I also think it kind of lives into a trend we're seeing at Meritz, which is the idea of who really owns an event, right? So, you know, because at the end of the day, what we try to work with our clients and get them to understand is like their event is in service to other people, right? And so really they are stewards of the brand and of the event, but they're designing for other people. And so when you have that mentality, you really open the door to more collaboration and more people and more ideas and conflicting opinions. And that only strengthens where, you know, what you end up kind of executing at the end. You know, we evolve by, you know, asking and giving feedback. That's just part of the plan.
I used to say in the very beginning, because I was very used to planning everything by myself, I had to learn to play, to invite people into my sandbox, which was really, really difficult in the beginning, having those extra collaborators, which were amazing, but I had to learn. Like I kept going back to that imagery as an art therapist. I work strong with imagery, and it was, okay, I need to start inviting people and letting them actually play in my play box, not just letting them come into my play box, my sandbox, but actually letting them play, which made the experience so much more amazing.
Yeah.
But also too, I just want to give, you know, tap my hat off to Tasha in that. That sounds like it's easy to do. That's really hard for a lot of people to do. And I think that she did an exceptional job this year of opening that door.
Thank you.
Claire, what are some of the biggest surprises that some of your clients have when you all come in, other than like really looking at the demographic of their guests and who the guest is? What are some other things that surprise people about the way you all look at events and produce events?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, the first thing that jumps to mind seems to be the simplest, which is we start by asking, why does this event exist? What is the purpose of it? And more times than not, you kind of get crickets. You know, people forget their guiding light. They forget, who they're there to serve and what they're there to do. And so, you know, if we can bring the client, if we can bring the stakeholders back to a shared purpose, it makes decision making so much easier and quicker, and it always has a positive outcome on the event.
And Tasha, what did you identify as the purpose of the Pink Retreat this year?
I've actually been thinking about it, and it's so funny you asked that question, because I think the why is bringing women back to each other and allowing us, because I started getting the reading some of the surveys, the post-event surveys. And the thing that kept coming up was, I loved getting together with my girls. I loved the laughter. I loved hanging out at the pool and just laughing and catching up with people I haven't seen. Like, for me, it's all about connection. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much food was at an event, doesn't matter how much whatever. If ladies are able to leave with those connections that are life-changing, I've done my job.
Yeah.
Do you remember your organizing principle, Tasha?
No, do you?
I do. It's so interesting because you're going to go, of course I remember, because you say it all the time when we're on
refill
calls.
Refill your cup?
Fill your cup. That's
refill
what it was.
Refill your cup. Yeah, I want the ladies to leave with, and that's why I gave an actual cup this year. Mm-hmm. Was because I wanted everybody to remember to fill your cup. It's like we do so much for everybody else and we're filling everybody else's cups, but our cups get depleted, and filling cups and having those connect, like if that's what it's all about, filling the cup.
And is there something specific that you can schedule or produce during an event to really foster those connections? Are there certain things that really help that along?
I think it's snippets of a lot of different opportunities. I don't think there's one answer to that because, for example, I think like at tea, they make it so that when you show up, it's a staggered seating. When you show up, you just sit with whoever is there at the table. So you're kind of forced to get out of your comfort zone and your clique and talk to people that you might not have traditionally talked to. And I've talked to so many women who have said, had I not sat with that group of women, I would have never made new friends because I would have when else would we have had an opportunity to talk? Like those are those special moments that are, I mean, they're priceless.
Yeah. We have two words that, or two kind of phrases that we talk about in that context. And, you know, from a, you know, it's so interesting because one is basically the title of this podcast, Between the Sessions, right? We call it, you know, Between the Breaks, right? And then also these opportunities for collision, right? Part of our job is to create environment and aesthetics that can actually provide the opportunity for people to make real valuable connection. It's our job to kind of set the stage. It's their job to kind of get up there and participate.
I love that. Opportunities
for
collision.
I love that. I know. I'm like, I need to write that down. That's a good one.
So Tasha, what does the future look like for the Pink Retreat?
I want to invite ladies to continue to refill their cups. I look to grow the Pink Retreat with the Discovering the Palm Beaches. They've been an amazing partner. Super excited to have them in my corner. But just growth, but also trying to figure out how to manage the growth so that I still maintain the authenticity of why the event was created. That to me is very important.
Yeah. I'm going to bring it back to the personas. I'm a marketer. I like personas. And I had a question about this actually. So after creating and thinking about your different audience personas, Tasha will talk specifically about the Pink Retreat, but Claire, I'm interested if you see this at other events. Once you open up kind of your planning and thinking about different audience personas, do you see an increase in different types of people attending once you're planning with different audiences in mind? And Claire, that question for you would be, do you find that your clients see that they do expand their audiences once they're planning with different people in mind?
I would say yes, because this year I added a water element, and those women who attended any of the water anything had the best time. Their pictures were amazing, and I had not had a water element in anything that I had done before. So clearly a water element and whatever it was about the water, I mean, people like let their, and one of the comments was, I was able to truly let my hair down. So there was something about the water and the waves and the, you know, I could see them like literally letting things just flow and just, they enjoyed the moment. So that was a new element. And I know just thinking specifically, that was something that I with a persona that somebody who like enjoyed my activity and getting out there more instead of just the lady who just wants to put on the pretty shift and go to tea. It's like, well, no, somebody wants to just put their swimming suit on and jump in the water. Like there's enough room for all of us.
Yeah, I love that. And Claire?
So I think kind of, you know, circling back, I think one thing I want to mention about personas, and this probably gets at it, is we look at them maybe a little differently than most people. We don't consider any demographic personas. And so when we were talking, you know, when we were working with Tasha and the team, we never talked about it by age, any race, any background. What we talked about, what their attitude, behaviors, beliefs were. We talk about what their interests and hobbies are, what their values, what their passions are, right? Things that really matter. It's not what they are, it's who they are. And so, you know, I do think, like, to your point, Jamie, does creating personas help from like an audience standpoint? Yes, but only if you design for them. You know, there's a lot of times where you can create these personas and sometimes you can't design for all of them, and that's okay. You make a conscious decision of where you want to invest, and then you create opportunities for impact for them. And I think it's those elements, those opportunities that create momentum and create audience like acquisition in the long run.
Yeah, I love that. So We've talked a lot about purpose. How can passion turn for something translate into a successful event? And Tasha, we'll start with you because obviously this was something you had passion about and have turned it into a successful event.
I think that the thing that I keep hearing is from ladies year after year is you've stayed true to what you wanted to do. And I've had the passion and they can see that it's authentic. And I think it's the authenticity piece that they see it's a passion and I put my everything into planning because of that passion and because I want them to have a good time and because I want them to continue to refill their cup. So I think there's something to be said for just being authentic within that passion instead of looking, as you know, when it's manufactured, we all feel it. You can all, you know.
What's the most valuable thing you've learned from hosting this event that you think would be important for other meeting planners, event planners to know?
I would say be open to collaboration and use your voice. I have to make sure that even though I do have some amazing new sponsors, that I don't lose my voice and stay true to who I am and why I originally created the event.
I think also if we talk about how do you create a passion-oriented event, it's alignment and authenticity in every area that you do. You know, one of the exercises and elements we talked about when we were in kind of this design session with Tasha and her team was that, you know, the Pink Retreat has such a strong brand and so many of those brand components overlap with Lily, but also overlap with the Palm Beaches. You know, this event would look very different if it was in Minnesota. Like it would just, you know, there's a reason why, you know, the who, the what, the where, and to Tasha's point, that authenticity shines through because people know when something doesn't fit. They can feel it. And so it's really important, again, that you stay true to your purpose and kind of that idea of who you serve.
And do you think are there any specific tips that you would give to a planner who's, you know, obviously the Pink Retreat is something that was derived from passion for mm-hmm. a brand or a style. But a lot of our audience are planners who maybe are planning events that are corporate driven or association driven. And so it's a very different type of process, that planning process. But obviously everyone still has a purpose. So what is your best advice, Claire, on how to derive passion from that to stay authentic in planning those events?
I think it all gets back to people. You know, regardless of what we do, we're all humans at the end of the day, and we have sometimes very simple, sometimes very sophisticated needs. But at the end of the day, you know, understanding people and their behaviors and their desires is so important. I can't tell you the number of times we have to, you know, kind of sometimes advise of, you know, that things have shifted post-pandemic. You know, people who used to be able to sit and tolerate a 90-session keynote, those people don't tolerate it anymore, and they will get up and leave. How we as humans, you know, value and organize our time has substantially changed, and it's changed in a good way. And I think events can really live into that if they, you know, they can live into it. I mean, if they choose to, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, you bring up an interesting point about post pandemic life, because it seems like, especially last year, I noticed it straight off because I had to postpone the event 2 years because of COVID. It seemed like women were, I think we all were, but it seemed like we were so desperate for connection that it was almost like, I'm never going to not be connected again. And it felt like there was this like rubber, my husband calls it the rubber band effect, where it was almost like it was so pent up that it's almost like I'm going to make sure that I make my connections every year in June with my friends. And I'm going to bring more friends because I need to make sure that I stay, like we keep our core group tight. It's been really an interesting pivot since then, even for the Pink Retreat.
Yeah, in many different areas for sure.
Yeah.
Claire, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, there's a lot of science around how people, you know, changed post-pandemic from, you know, a personality standpoint, and that, you know, part of connection is trust, and how that people started to become less kind of trusting and, you know, even trustworthy. And so what we're seeing is this increase, like kind of what Tasha was referring, this like huge demand and desire to reconnect and bond and form like human connections. There's a reason why we all are passionate about events, right? Because there's something, you know, that you cannot kind of replicate unless you're face to face.
Yes, very true. Let's talk quickly about, we asked this question to all of our guests, but it's about between the sessions, activities and memories and experiences. Tasha, what is your favorite between the session activity or experience or memory?
I can think back to, it was Pink Retreat. It wasn't last year. I think it must've been like year two. And it was one, I think it was girls' night. I usually do a girls' night, which is kind of like a free night where everybody just gets together and does whatever they want, whether it's a pajama party or dinner or whatever, pool party. And I got together with some of my girlfriends and some girlfriends that were new, and we had dinner, and we laughed and we laughed and we laughed. And now we have inside jokes. It's like, that's what the Pink Retreat's about. It's not about going to the activities as much as it's about making those connections and now having inside jokes that when we're on Instagram, we can do little emojis and everybody cracks up because they're like, oh my God, remember that moment. That's the stuff to me that's like, you can't recreate that stuff. I mean, that stuff is just, it's priceless.
Yeah. We do end every Between the Sessions podcast with swag, which normally is stuff we all get, but our swag's a little bit different because it's a piece of advice or a tip that you would give to people, one piece of advice that you've learned throughout your time in this industry. What would that be?
I think it gets back to time and to people, which is only do things together that you can't do when you're apart. So when you plan an event and you say, could this activity, education, fill in the blank, be done digitally or over the phone, don't put it at your event.
Ooh, that's good. Okay, Tasha, what about you?
Oh, wait, I'm taking notes. That was good. That was good, Claire. That was good. I like that
kind
of swag. I know. I was like, oh my God, now you got me really thinking out the box.
I will say, kind of our VP of brand, that's one of the big things that I did steal it. So I want to be completely transparent.
That's okay.
So yeah.
You can steal the swag.
Great.
Tasha?
I'd probably have to say, trust yourself. Trust what you know. Trust your gut. Just trust the process. When it gets bigger than me, I go back to what was my core belief about my business? What's my why? But just trust what I know, because that's never got me astray.
Yeah. Well, thank you, ladies, so much. Yeah, that is great. We really appreciate you, Tasha Williams and Claire Lester. So really quickly, before we let you guys go, how can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more? Tasha, how can people reach you? LinkedIn, email?
Absolutely. You can reach me via email, which is thepinkretreat@yahoo, or my website, which is thepinkretreat.com. I'm also on Instagram at The Real Pink Retreat. And we've also got a Facebook group, two Facebook groups, one that's a general Facebook group, which is called LilyCon, The Pink Retreat. And also there's a group called Sister Connect, which is an opportunity for women who are traveling alone to be able to connect with other Lily sisters before they attend, which is also available on Facebook.
Awesome. And Claire?
Yeah, I mean, you can get in touch with me via LinkedIn or via email. It's claire.lester@merits.com. Pretty easy.
Awesome. All right, Claire Lester, Tasha Williams, thank you so much for joining us today. Between the Sessions is part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Thank you for tuning in, and make sure to check us out on LinkedIn, the Palm Beaches, and you can head to our website, thepalmbeaches.com/meetings. We'd also love it if you would subscribe to this podcast and leave a review. This has been another episode of Between the Sessions.